Yes, Heavenly Father, we just pause here before you this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for the word that we heard this morning already. We have a tremendous opportunity to just hear again. And I just pray, Father, that as we hear the word, that our hearts would be open to receiving. Mm-hmm. Father, this time of the year is harvest, and we see all the seed that comes off. And Father, we know that in seasons past, there was a sowing. And Father, today I just pray that our hearts could be open for the sowing of more seed, Father, that we could bear fruit worthy of you. So I just pray for Brother Arlen here, that you would speak through him, be with him, Father, give him strength to bring forth your word and bring forth your message that you have placed upon his heart. And I just commit him into your hands, Father. And I pray that thy will would be done today on earth as in heaven. Just commit the remainder of this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Say good morning and welcome. This is another blessed opportunity to be gathered together with God's people. Sometimes we take these things for granted. This used to not always be this way. So we count this as a great privilege to be here this morning. The song is one song we sang. It says, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. That's very true, right? I mean, time just flies by. Then he asks a question. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap poverty or shall we reap tears? I don't know about you, but that song spoke to me this morning that we have but a moment in this life. And how we use that will determine the end of our age. Will we reap poverty or will we reap tears? This morning, we are going to, Lord willing, we're going to look at Part 2 of technology, of living in the aftermath of a tech tsunami. And as we think of that there, that just doing a probably a little recap here, there's one quote that I wanted to read again, but the overall picture is holiness in all manner of life. Not in 10 areas and we only lack in one area, but holiness in all manner, in every area of our life, God is calling us to be holy. And as we think of the communications technology is what we looked at, especially on social media. And to a thought on social media there, you all probably know the apps more than I do. I have no idea how many apps are out there that are considered social media, but it's the apps that lay along the side of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Telegram and WhatsApp and all of those, whatever else you want to put in there. Those are what we're talking about. But we talked about the effects of what social media has on us as a people. And what it does to us. And it says that our desire for a reward is a much stronger motivator than the pleasure given by the reward. If a machine or a drug or an app can train your brain to desire something, it's got you hooked. It doesn't have to actually give you pleasure. It just has to make you think you'll be getting pleasure. Satan has a vast array of methods by which he endeavors for us to be consumed by lust while receiving no reward at all. Unfortunately, much of modern consumer-oriented technology is designed to manipulate our reward response system and generate desire. This is particularly true of social media. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram have all been designed to mimic a slot machine. Now, I know none of us gamble, but maybe none of you did this, but I remember as a little boy, we would go to the gas stations and that machine that pushed them, that slide comes in and out and it pushes quarters off the edge, and them quarters, there's thousands of quarters getting ready to fall. You drop a quarter in and it's going to push all them off the edge, and it consumed a lot of my money there because one of these days this thing's going to go over, and it never gave me any pleasure. I didn't get anything in return. So Facebook was designed to consume as much of your time as possible. Twitter feeds your fear of missing out. Instagram tells you you're not pretty or popular enough. And Snapchat's disappearing messages encourage the sending of flirtatious or even outright sexual comments or pictures. The disappearing act also makes things much more thrilling to see because you've got to take in everything you can before it goes away. Snapchat is the crack cocaine of social media. And Brother Jerry said social media is the fentanyl of our day. All shapes, sizes, and forms. Not just something that you don't have. Social media is a distraction in the land that we live in. So we live in a dry and a thirsty land. We live in times that directly militate against Christian living. Times that are in opposition of living a dying life. Everything around you militates against that. The devil has no intention of making this world a place that encourages Christian living. Because remember that the kingdom of darkness is ruled by Satan himself. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Through Christ we can be victorious. Through Christ we can conquer the flesh. Christ rose as a victor over death and hell. We do not have to succumb to the age that we live in. We can live in this age as a separate people. We don't have to be a part of this present age. We're actually called out of that to be an example. We're called to be holy in all manner of conversations. So the reason for part number two is not necessarily because where we are, but it's because where we're going. So it's not because I think we're in a bad place. It's not because I think that everything in here is happening is terrible. But it's the direction that it's moving us. Every home that's sitting in here is moving. We're moving at probably a faster rate of speed than what we can even think. Change is happening on every hand. Decisions are made. Thousands of decisions are made every day. We meet the crossroads of life all the time and we make decisions. Change happens. The other aspect is to stir our pure minds by way of remembrance. To stir up something within us so that it doesn't go forgotten and it doesn't get lost on the side. That, well, it's just something that we succumb to and it's just the age we live in. It's just what we have. But it's to stir up our minds that God has called us to something different. I am also concerned about the invasion of this into our homes. I am concerned that many of our Anabaptist circles, many fathers are acting irresponsibly with the use of media in their homes. I am concerned that many young people are mindlessly embracing the screen for the sake of simple amusement entertainment. Those are the burdens for the second part, because the world we live in militates against what we have here today. Satan has no desire that this would continue. None whatsoever. (Clears throat) So before we go on, that I would like to ask a question, and maybe this is too personal. I don't know. I debate if I should do this or not, but who all has a phone sitting here today? Just raise your hand. I mean that it's on you, that's with you in your pocket. Okay, that's good. Well, I have my phone with me also, but after I studied this, I decided that my phone will either be turned off or it's going to stay out in the van. I mean like turned off, not just on vibrate. Because I determined that this little beast in my pocket will not determine when I become distracted sitting in a church service, listening to the voice of God. Because statistics have it this way, that after every distraction, listen, it takes approximately 23 minutes to regain focus. So in an hour's message, you missed about half of it. One buzz, one beep, one ding. We look. We got to see it. Who is it? What do they want? What's it say? Who's it from? On the other hand, every time that I get up and go out or I distract someone, I'm either a distraction to someone or I do something to distract them, I have caused someone else to miss 23 minutes of a message. That's sobering. You just think about that for a little bit. Because someone's sitting here, they're intently listening, something happens, and you can do this at home, do it with your children. You're reading a book or you're listening to a message, and little Johnny, he starts asking questions about the message, and you say, no, stop, listen. You just listen, because I can't listen and talk to you both. I'm missing what I'm getting here. So you're sitting here and you get one distraction, you're going to miss 23 minutes of what the Lord has for you. So saying all of that, I am blessed to be a part of the body that has banned the use of television because the effects that it has on the brain are astounding. So we don't have TV, so that exempts us. However, computers and smartphones have the exact same effects on the brain that does a TV screen in days gone by. In less than 1 minute after you're on your phone or computer, you pull it out, you open it up, you look at the screen, your brain goes in what they call the alpha mode. It's a passive state of mind. It's relaxed. It's just nothing matters. At that point, it's a state of mind that your logical thought process is shut down. Where if you pick up a book and you read the book and you start... And your brain is active. It's trying to put these words into picture. It's trying to understand what it's saying. It's trying to get something. But when you just sit there and you pull up that screen and there's moving pictures, you're scrolling through, whatever you're doing, in less than 1 minute, your brain goes into a passive state of mind. And at that point, you can be taught anything. Because you're just passive. You don't think about what you see. You don't matter what you see. They put in front of you whatever they want. And you'll see that later on. This is true for adults and children. So I'd encourage us as parents, please don't put your children in front of a screen. Please don't do that. Research has shown that when a child's brain is developing during the time between infancy and age 12, watching video, whether that's a family video that we make up or any other video online, can alter the normal brain development. Research also shows that extended periods of time in front of a screen in a passive state hinders a child's development of language and reasoning ability. So it hinders the way he talks and the way he speaks, his language, his pronunciation of words, and he can no longer reason. He can't sit down and determine, well, is this good or is this evil? Is it right or is it wrong? Is it moral or is it immoral? He can't determine that anymore. This message is as much for me as it is for you. Sometimes I find myself in a turmoil. trying to figure out how to deal with this little beast that destroys so many people. Yet it can be so useful. Yet it is so demanding and puts us in such connection with itself that we can hardly let go of it. Do you find yourself there? The average American checks their phone between 96 to 205 times a day. And with recent reports from 2024 and 25 showing higher figures, around 144 to 205 checks per day. This frequency has been increasing, with many people reporting feeling addicted and spending several hours daily on their devices. Are we a part of these statistics? How many times does your phone beep and buzz and ding and ring and it stays in your pocket and you don't even look at it? Top 10 cell phone addiction statistics. 47% of Americans are addicted to their phones. The average person checks their phone about every 12 minutes. 44% of adults in the U.S. say that not having their phones gives them anxiety. Cell phones cause more than 1 out of 5 car accidents. Almost 2/3 of children spend 4 hours or more per day on their smartphones. 77% of Americans own a smartphone. And I'd say that statistics is probably low because they don't know of all of them, but perhaps they do, I don't know. But teenagers spend an average of 9 hours a day on their smartphones. 66% of teenagers feel anxious when they don't have their smartphones. 34% of teenagers say they have excessive smartphone use. 47% of teenagers say they are constantly checking their phones. So how do you feel when you don't have your phone? How do you feel when you leave your house and you forgot your phone? What happens inside of you, inside of us? What feeling does it give me? Well, what happens when your phone reaches the 10% battery bar that's almost dead? And you're not at home yet, and you don't have a charger in your car, what happens? Or do we make sure there's a charger in every location that we'll ever go, just so that I never lose charge and my phone will never die? We read all of this, and somehow we're supposed to use it to glorify God when it promotes a self-image of me and militates directly against Christian living and was designed to do just that. This little beast has a tremendous grip on our hearts. Therefore, it has the greatest potential to tell me what to think, how to think, what's good and evil. It tells me what is beautiful and what is not. It tells me what is in style and what is not. Simply put, it controls me. It takes place of the Bible. And I know this is painting a very dark picture, and the picture's not over with yet. Someone said, brother told me in the last message that the tsunami is not over yet. The tsunami of technology is a far cry from over. We'll face tremendous amounts of change when it comes to technology. Another brother said that probably in a couple of years we won't even have to worry about talking about cell phones because they won't exist anymore. But when we paint this dark picture, we have to ask the question, how has this device helped me to live a more godly life? How has it helped me to be more separated from the world? How has it brought me to a closer relationship with Christ? I personally believe it's one of the avenues that is the most subtle, yet the most deceiving in our time and in the times to come. And so now we're going to look at a little bit of a darker picture. Youth exposure. Studies indicate that a large percentage of children and teenagers are exposed to pornography on social media, often accidentally, which is a major concern. This means that the internet is loaded with immorality, and you'll find that out later. In 2021, Bark discovered that if someone searched any letter on Facebook's search bar and then navigated to the video results, they would see a long list of mostly sexual options. Reports say that spam commenters are flooding popular YouTube channels with links containing suspected scams and directing young audiences toward porn sites. YouTube's doing this. 2019, an article by TechCrunch, a publisher of tech industry news, summarized the findings of two Israeli NGOs. The article details how WhatsApp chat groups are being used to spread illegal child pornography. It's no secret that the internet has fueled child sex abuse like never before and enabled abusers direct access to the victims. We put phones in the hands of our children at probably 8 years old today. And we wonder why everything goes wrong. It's because the industry that's out there, it's flooding that little thing called the internet. The societal costs of pornography are staggering. The financial cost to business productivity in the U.S. alone is estimated at $16.9 billion a year spent to flood the market. But the human toll, particularly among our youth and our families, is far greater than $16.9 billion. Every day, 37 pornographic videos are created in the United States. Every day it takes place. 2.5 billion emails containing porn are sent or received. Flowing through the internet, 2.5 billion of these are moving across what we call the clouds or the internet, wherever that goes. 68 million search queries related to pornography. That means 68 million people typed in the search bar looking for porn. A fourth of these actually make the move and not just search for it. One fourth. You can do the math there. When TikTok came on the scene, they replaced the choose your friends. Two, they will decide who or what you like based on your history. TikTok did this. I don't know what year it was, but they came out and you used to be able to, you choose your friends, who you like, who you invite, and all that. I don't know much about that, but of how that works. But they decided on their platform, they're going to put in front of you who they think that you like and what you like. And so they start putting in front of this, and so now they determine who becomes your group of social friends. Not long ago, someone had the brilliant idea to get rid of the page breaks. How many of you all remember the page breaks? When you, if you have a computer and you searched on Google and you'd scroll down, you hit the end of the page. You had to click to the next page. Do you remember that? So remember some of that. Someone had a brilliant idea that we need to get rid of this. That becomes a hindrance. Now you can continually scroll without interruption. That was intentionally designed that you can just scroll and scroll and scroll. You go on YouTube, you go on any news feed, any news channel, and you just scroll and you can scroll and you can spend countless hours staying connected and distracted, attached to this little beast called your cell phone today. And you just keep moving and moving and moving, and hours pass and you don't even know it. And we say, well, we don't have social media, so we're exempt from all that. Because, I would encourage us to think again, because in the social media world, that what works for one app, the other apps quickly get on board. So when you say, well, we have this app, but we don't have that app, but what happens is TikTok came on and they did that, and all the apps did it. The reason is they either do it or they lose all their consumers. People go to the other app because it works better, it works quicker, it's easier, it's more user friendly, and so everybody does it. So we're not exempt. This is true for news apps, and YouTube, whatever other apps there are out there. I'd like to encourage us that the most effective place to learn about the Bible and all of its prophecy and all of its fulfillments, the Bible is its own best interpretation. We must guard against online information and, I would say, radio preachers. The web holds still. A man can put on there anything that he wants. That you can sit to that keyboard, you can type whatever you want on there, and you can click it, and you can send it, you can post it, you can email it, you can text it, you can tweet it, and it goes out there. And too many times we read it, we consume it, and we say that it's the truth, it's the gospel. And that's not true. There are so many YouTube videos that are just false. People take this technology, I don't know how they do it, and they make this guy and they make that guy and they put out a little message and they put the just right title up there and it catches the consumer. You probably all get text messages or emails and they have this this title here. You know, I remember one a couple weeks ago is Elon Musk releases robots in the wild and you'd never imagine what happened next. And that's the headline. What do you do with that? Let's go find out. Let's just see what happened. Well, it's not going to show you what happened. It's clickbait. They want you to grab it. That's what they're waiting on. Somebody's trying to sell a product, and they're using you to click on it to sell the product. Most of the YouTube videos are just someone creating content to attract the consumer to make a little money. That's what most of them are there for. There's probably very, 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 very few that are worth spending your time chasing. Chat lines, I believe this should be avoided in any way. No, not posting things or following a post. There's a lot of debatable information they put out there. And someone puts out a thought, and someone else puts out their thought, and you just keep debating back and forth. I say that we should avoid those. These are all designed to intentionally consume us. We must remember who the ruler of the kingdom of darkness is. It is not God, and it is anti-Christian living today. So I would like to encourage us to proceed with much caution, making intentional decisions, not being passive leaders in our home. Make intentional choices. Let's control what we allow into our lives. Don't just adapt it because it's available. If we don't control it, it will control us. Be careful, as Brother Mervyn shared in his opening, be careful of the union that you make with that little beast in your pocket. Be careful that this thing doesn't become something that will devour you in the days to come. And don't ever make the comment that, well, I'm above that. Because when you make that comment, you are bait to be consumed. So now let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to make a disclaimer here on this passage. This passage deserves much more time than what I'm going to give it this morning. I'm going to brush over it quickly, and then we're going to move on. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. It says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testify, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So he says, this is the will of God, and it's even for your sanctification that you should abstain from fornication. The word fornication there is all immorality. Sometimes the word fornication is for premarital sex, but it's not that way today. It's talking about all kinds of immorality. Anything that is impure, anything. That's what it's talking about. You should abstain from it. Don't get close to it. Run away from it. It's impure. It's unholy. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't lay your hands on it. That every one of you should know how to possess, take the reins, take control of the vessel, of your body, of your mind, of your will. Not in the lust of concupiscence. And like I said, we could go on there and more, but possessing this vessel means I guard what I set before my eyes. I choose what I will see. Okay? I choose what I will see. I avoid certain places. I will not go here. I will not go there. It's to take the reins of this vessel. You possess it. You make intentional choices of what you set before your eyes. Because I'm here to testify that some things that you set before your eyes will never leave your image. That image will never leave your mind. And it brings terrible destruction to your life. So I'd encourage you, take heed. On the other hand, I watch what I do, or where, or how I handle my body, because I take control of this vessel. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, we could become a stumbling block to someone else in this area. So it's not just so much of what I set before my eyes, but it's how I live my life. I choose what to do. I make choices. And we should take more time there, but let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Says now the verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So as we read there that some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. A seducing spirit hypnotizes the individual and gets them to do things that they normally would not do. A seducing spirit hypnotizes the individual and gets them to do things they normally wouldn't do. It's the alpha state of mind. You put this screen in front of you and you hit a passive state in less than a minute's time. You're in a passive mode and they can tell you whatever they want to tell you. And you say amen to it. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to those things. Then it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Flip back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, it says, "This I say therefore," it's talking about a conscience seared with a hot iron, "this I say there, testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." You have not so learned Christ. That's a conscience seared with a hot iron. Your past feeling, it's a seducing spirit. The immoral becomes moral. The evil becomes good. The black becomes white. And we can go on and on there with that. but I think for the sake of time, we want to try to wind this down here. So I've been told before that you shouldn't present a problem without a solution. So for a solution, but before we can have a solution, do we have a problem? Answer the question privately. Do I do things with my phone that nobody knows about and will never know about? Are there apps on my phone that I would hate to have displayed up here for the brotherhood to see? Am I communicating with my phone in ways that are unprofitable? Am I being consumed by my device? Do I own it? Does it own me? If my authority decided today to take away my device, would they find me grumbling, complaining, frustrated, and struggling to let it go? If so, we have a big problem. We have a big problem. If daddy or whoever's in authority over you and they say, No more phones. Hand them all in. Or, you know what? It's for my good. I resign. I submit. You see, Abraham, he held Isaac dearly. Yet, when God called for Isaac, he willingly let go. He was willing to let it go. No grumbling, no complaining, no frustration, no struggling. He rose up early and he went and he left his son go. If God doesn't have my Isaac, he doesn't have me. If we say we're not on social media, then I would encourage us to delete all the apps and find out how hooked we really are. Just take them off your phone. Wipe them off. You say you don't use them, get rid of them. Throw it out. Cast it away. It's unprofitable for you to have it. It's a temptation. If you don't use it, it's still a temptation. To just look, to scroll, to waste time. That's why I would encourage us to delete our apps. Put your phones down. Not just in your pocket. Don't just put it on vibrate, but lay it down. They all have ringers. They all have beeps and buzzers to alert you when someone calls, texts, messages, whatever. It's going to let you know. And you can go get it and look at it then. You don't have to have it in your pocket. By doing this, we'll determine how much your phone means to you. So the question we have is, do we have a problem? Do we need a solution? Or are there no problems? If there's no problems, there's no need for a solution. So as we think of this, Now I'm going to do something. I'm actually going to let each one of you determine the solution to this problem. So Henry Klassen was here, and I hope you have to cooperate with me. We'll try to do this very quickly. But Henry Klassen said that the church of today is from 15 to 30 years old. That's the church of today. And at this time, if it's possible, I'd like everybody 15 to 30. I'd like you to come up here on a platform. We'll just do it real quickly. Time's going. So if you're between 15 and 30 years old, just come up here. Just stand up there on the platform. I don't know what this does to you. Many years ago, about 18 years ago, this was the burden for many choices that we made. Big decisions that had to be made. Many of these were just little babies when we as parents made these decisions. This is the church of today. You are the church of today. And so you're going to have an opportunity. You're going to have to think through these things. You're going to have to wrestle through this. You're going to have to answer some questions. How will you control it? Or will it control you? It's a device. You've grown up in an age that smartphones and internet, and social media apps, that's just all you've ever known. I grew up in an age we didn't have a phone in our house. I didn't know that. We lived fine without it. But you live in a time and an age that is completely different. And I'll tell you that you live in an age that you're going to face far greater things than what we're facing today. And so how will you control it, or will it control you? So I wanted to give us a picture, just so will somebody here give each one of you, as you go back to your seat, and someone over here give each one of the young ladies. And you can take one, you can go back to your seat. So someone's passed them out. And then as you get one, you can go have a seat. Thank you for coming up here. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so now to change the picture a little bit, everyone that's 31 and up, I'd like for you to come up here, if it's feasible for you to do that. If you would rather not, I won't force you to, but I'd like for you just to take a moment. You can stand as couples if you like. Now we see a very beautiful picture. Young people, what you lay your eyes on today is the church of yesterday. You have no idea the privileges you have set before you. You have no idea how many nights was spent weeping over decisions that had to be made so that you could have what you have here today. This is the church of yesterday. They've made big decisions. They've made hard decisions. And as you sit there and you look at them, and just because you're the church of today does not give you the power or the authority to reject the counsel of the church of yesterday. They're still making decisions today that will impact the rest of our lives. And I want you to count it as a tremendous blessing that you can sit here and you can see the church of yesterday. And what you saw up here this morning when the children were up here is the church of tomorrow. And there's grandparents up here. As you think of those little grandchildren holding your laps, they're going to make decisions for their children and their grandchildren. Their work is not done just because it was yesterday, but it's still today. And we still have to make decisions that's very important that will determine the outcome of many, many generations. So I want you to each take an index card. Would you pass them out? Make sure everybody gets one on this side, and everybody can get one on this side. You want to pass those out? Yeah, take them as husband and wife if you could. And then you can go back and have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. One for, yeah. Like you each get one. Okay. I wanted to give you a visual of your children, of your grandchildren, of your parents. I want to give that a visual. But the most important thing, this little card that you have, I would like for you, I want everybody to have one. So I would like for you to take this card out right now. And I'd like for you to put your name your age on the top of the paper. And then on the side of that, I want you to put whether you're a male or a female. F is female, M is male. Just put the letter there, you can spell it out. Or if you like to do boy and girl or man, woman, you can do that. But I'd like to know the gender. And so now those of you that are 30 to 15, you heard the dark side of the internet. You heard the, and I, as a disclaimer, this is a completely lopsided message. It didn't bring out the good points. I understand that. I was not intending to bring out any good points. It was to paint a very dark picture. It was to help us to have more of a fear of this thing than what we do, that this thing is more of a giant than what we realize. So I want you to write this question. Just answer the question, and you're going to have until the brother closes, whoever closes, when he closes on your way out to lunch, there's going to be a box back there. You're going to drop it in. I would appreciate that if everybody would participate. If you drop in a blank card, then I assume that you are going to do nothing about it. You're just going to let things go as they go. So, 30 to 15, those of you that are between the ages of 15 and 30, what is your vision for this? How will we control it and not let it control us? If you want to write that question down, you can. You can put it in the back of your card. You can put your answer in the back of the card. It can be as short or as long as I realize you only have one little card, so but you only have a few minutes. So what is your vision? How will you control it and not let it control you? And so then those 31 and up, if you have your age and your gender, what decisions are we making today that will help the church of tomorrow? These little children up here, they're about the size of some of your children. They're your grandchildren today. They're about the size of some of your children was when you first made some hard decisions to start your journey with Jesus. And so what decisions are we making today that will help the church of tomorrow? And then you also have, to the end of service, on your way out for lunch, drop your card in the box. And I don't know what's going to happen with these cards. It may be a brother's meeting topic. It may be another message. I don't know that yet. We'll determine what will happen. Yes, brother. Yes, on the message, right. Based strictly on communications technology, which is social media, the whole use of the internet could fit in there. So I'm going to bring this to a close with a couple of comments. The click of our fingertips reveal the dark motives of our hearts and sin. Every double tap and every click will be accounted for. It's recorded in heaven. Whether or not the cloud still has it, whether or not some social media app still has it, even though you hit the delete button, even though you sent it, and moments after you sent it, it was gone. It's stored somewhere. It's recorded somewhere, and we're going to give an account for those things. It is better to go to heaven having decided to never use the internet again rather than going to hell clicking whatever we desire. And I would just invite any comments, any corrections, anything that needs to be shared that is not biblical, I invite that. But I also ask that you... pray for me, pray for us as a family. I don't stand here because I have the answers. I stand here because I desire to have the answers. And I desire as a church that we would move forward in the glory of Jesus. So I thank you for your cooperation and may the Lord bless you.